Before reflecting on this evening's scriptures, I have two other reflections. First of all, you know, a week from Tuesday, I'm having my knee replacement surgery. And because of that, next Sunday, I'm going to have the anointing of the sick during this Mass for me. But I'd like to invite any of you who have a chronic illness or are facing surgery or something like that to join me for the anointing of the sick during Mass next Sunday, or if you have relatives and friends who would benefit from that celebration of the sacrament. Second point is, last Thursday was Thanksgiving. I know that you all celebrated in some kind of way, but it's important for us to look at our hearts and ask whether or not we gave thanks to the one from whom all good gifts come. Sometimes those celebrations are simply a matter of being grateful for our families and friends without being grateful for the one who made our families and who gave us our friends. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, it's the primary thing we do is give thanks. You know, we offer ourselves with Jesus to the Father, and there's no greater possibility of thanksgiving than that. So I hope you went to Mass on Thanksgiving Day. If not, this is the day to do that and to gather all those things that you've been grateful for this past year into this offering to the Father. You know, the Lord Jesus gives us great privileges of sharing in his worship of the Father every time we celebrate the Eucharist. With that in mind, now let us turn to today's scripture readings, which are about kingship, because today is a feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday of the church year. One of the things that's important for us to understand as we begin these reflections is that God himself was not pleased when the Jewish people asked to have a king. You might remember that from the Old Testament, that in some sense God was insulted by that request, because through the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Bible, God wanted to govern the Jewish people himself. He was the king. But they were tempted, like we are today, to be like everybody else. And since all the other nations around them had kings, the Jewish people thought they should have a king as well. For the most part, it was a disaster. There were some good kings, like King David, but beginning with Saul, Saul, but then Solomon, King David's son, things went downhill all the way. Because there's a tendency on the part of human beings to trust in principalities and powers rather than to trust in God. And that's what God told the Jewish people. Before long, instead of focusing on him as their king and lord, they would be focusing on the worldly things which got them into trouble. Nonetheless, God promised that in the course of time, King David would have a descendant who would be a great king. And we know that God's promise to the Jewish people was fulfilled in the birth and life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose kingship we celebrate today. Now we find echoes of the meaning of this kingship in today's scripture readings. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel, which was written not too long before the birth of Jesus Christ, a time of persecution among the Jews. And because they were persecuted, they were looking for a better time. And through the prophet Daniel, God made them promises. And one of the promises was that they would have a great king. This is what Daniel says. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, one like the Son of Man received dominion, power, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. So what's described in this prophecy is the coming of the Messiah, who would be the king not only of the Jews, but of the universe. and his kingship would never disappear, would never be taken away. His kingship would last forever. And we see that again fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our second reading is from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the last book of the New Testament. And what's described here is the kingship of Jesus once again. This is what the scripture says. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. Not only is he king, but he's the King of kings. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, by his blood, he has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. If there's a king, there has to be a kingdom. And according to the book of Revelation, that kingdom is all of us here. But not only all of us here, but all of human history. The reading goes on. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him. Yes, amen. And then the Lord God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So he's making a claim about Jesus, that Jesus is the beginning of human history and the end of human history. All human history is bracketed by the Lord Jesus, who is the King. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Our King is the King, not only of us as individuals, but of all human history. And finally, we come to the reading from the New Testament Gospel, the Gospel of St. John. Now, this is an unusual passage on a feast that we're celebrating with great splendor and solemnity, the Feast of Christ the King. It's a passage from the Gospel of St. John that is in the heart of the Passion narrative, where Jesus is arrested and is being tried by Pontius Pilate. And there's this moment when Jesus and Pilate enter into a discussion about the meaning of kingship. You can imagine what was on Pilate's mind when he thought of a king. He thought of King Herod, for example, who was a terrible ruler in Israel, a truly evil man who killed his own sons because he was in competition against them. An extraordinary and difficult man. So when Pilate thought of king, he thought of King Herod. Or he thought of the emperor, Tiberius, and the Roman emperors who were dictators and who ruled the world because of military power and because of fear. So when he thought of king and he looked at Jesus, he didn't see anything that resembled the Roman notion of kingship. So he entered into a dialogue with Jesus. Let's enter into that dialogue ourselves. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And I imagine he asked the question with a certain amount of sarcasm. Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Now, I think Jesus was sincerely trying to open the heart of this ruler of the Roman people in Israel. And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are king." And you notice that Jesus doesn't really give him an answer. Jesus responds by saying, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus doesn't give an answer. Now let's try to reflect on this passage and apply it to our own lives. First of all, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: was Jesus guilty of the things because of which the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, brought him to Pilate? Was he guilty or innocent? I think most of us would say it was an unjust trial and Jesus was innocent. But I'd like you to reflect for a moment on the possibility that Jesus was guilty as charged. He was asked, "Are you a king?" Which is a rival for the loyalty of the people against the Emperor Caesar. And I think the answer to that, if we take our Christian faith seriously, is that Jesus was guilty of the charge. He was a threat to the order, the authority, the power, the values of the Roman Empire. And every time we say the Our Father, when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we declare publicly that our loyalty in the world is to Christ, who is our King, because his kingdom takes place now as well as in eternity. And I think this is a very important point. It's interesting that the church celebrates this feast of Christ the King at this time of year, you know, after a lot of political activity. In November, it just happens to be that November is the month in which we have our elections in this country, but it's also the month during which we always celebrate the feast of Christ the King. This past election season, I gave several talks, and in the course of giving those talks, one of the things I would consistently say is that we are Catholics before we are Democrats. We're Catholics before we're Republicans. And then I would say, and we're Catholics even before we're Americans. I've received many letters of criticism because of saying that. Somehow people said that says that, you know, the Catholics are not loyal to their country, and that the worries that the Protestants have had about us from the beginning of our country must be true, that we can't be good citizens because we have a prior loyalty to Jesus Christ. What do you think of that? Well, if he is our king, then no one else is. And if we really are believers, if Jesus is truly Lord, you know, that's another word, a title given to the kings, then we can be accused of not being loyal citizens. Now, hopefully, we'll never have to make that choice, you know, between being good Americans or being good Catholics. But if we were required to make that choice, where would you stand? Who sits in the throne before which you bow? And that's the challenge of today's feast. We are invited, together with the church throughout the whole world, to submit ourselves to Jesus as our Lord. As I mentioned in this gospel passage, Jesus did not answer Pilate. And I think the reason for that is because that responsibility lies with us. Jesus does not want to declare himself to be king. He wants us to declare our faithfulness, that he's Lord and King of our lives. As we celebrate this Eucharist on this Feast of Christ the King today, we pray that the Lord will transform our hearts, make us loyal, and that we will always be faithful disciples and faithful subjects to Jesus, who is truly our King.